Well, we started last week talking about God's will concerning Christmas, and he desires that his light goes into the darkness of the world and that it brightens up people's paths, whatever they are, and that ultimately as they see the light of Christ maybe clearer than they've seen it before, they'll start moving towards God. They'll start moving towards Jesus Christ. If they've never been saved, God would desire they get saved. If they've been saved and kind of backed away, God would desire that they come a little closer, come back to him. And we found out last week that God's desire for his light to go into darkness is absolutely connected to us. That's why I wanted us to have a little fun with "Go Where I Send Thee" this morning in worship, because God has sent us in the world to be his light. Now, we learned by the word that we are the light of God. And I think I said this, I'll say it again quickly. Going into the world as the light of God to brighten up dark places, that's our calling. That's the Great Commission. That's how we obey Jesus Christ. We go and we are the light of God. In fact, we are the light of Christ in a dark place. We should be doing that 7 days a week, 12 months out of the year. But at Christmas time, it gets a little easier to do that because God has seen to help us out with it by making sure that there's Christmas lights on nearly every main street of every town in the world, nearly. So that's a setup from God. I tell people, if you have trouble sharing the gospel with people or having a conversation about God, Christmas ought to be easy. You're shopping with your friends or you're downtown. Easy enough to make a comment, "I sure like Christmas. Look how light and how beautiful everything looks this time of year." Well, there's a hint. Yeah, did you know that it's God's plan that every neighborhood has lights? And that's God's way of saying, "I want you to see my light so I can help you out of your darkness." Ought to be easy to start a conversation or to minister to somebody. Ought to be easy to invite them to church or to invite them to a Bible study or a prayer meeting. Boy, good time of year, all right? What we wanted you to go out of here with last week from that message was that at Christmas time, we should set goals. We should have a plan to go be God's light in the world, because we are. We should expect that our presence, the light of God in us, should produce light wherever we go, and we should start watching for the effect of that. We are light, whether we're aware of it or not, but we are, and if we'll accept that and start looking around, we will see fruit from that. Number three, listen for words and promptings from the Holy Spirit for the situations you can encounter or you will encounter. And then finally, I said, how about we plan this Christmas? This will be a gift for ourselves. I'm going to start walking out my new life in Christ. I'm going to start expecting myself to be the light of God wherever I go. I'm going to take it to a new level over this Christmas holiday season. And then I'll begin to live it the rest of the year. All right, so that was kind of from last week. We're going to continue. We ended on Ephesians 5 and 16. We'll begin this week on Ephesians 5, 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So this is the next statement in a teaching from Paul, in a teaching about you being God's light in the world. We looked at stuff last week. We want to pick it up with, do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. I said it this way. Understanding the will of God for your life is foundational for being God's light in the world. Now, I say it all the time. We should find out God's purpose for us. That's his will. We should find out what our gifts and our callings are, and we should be operating in those. Well, it sure fits well into the, we're calling it a Christmas message because it's Christmas time. but this is a message for our lives all year long. I want to go to Jesus' teaching about the will of God. Like I say, every time I turn around, this just keeps coming up, but I got to go with it. Well, I thought that was kind of a interesting little picture. There's your ticket to heaven right there. It's what came up. I thought it was kind of clever. Jesus, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? That ought to tell you he's talking to church folks. Amen. He's talking to good church folks who show up on Sunday and even go out there in the world and try to do some stuff in his name. He said, I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Two things we want to be sure that's underlined in our Bible. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom. He who does the will of my Father in heaven. So Jesus is telling us doing God's will is a heaven or hell issue. That's what he's telling us. And he's also saying, depart, I never knew you. An intimate relationship with Jesus Christ is also a heaven or hell issue. That's what he says. And an intimate relationship means more than I just know a lot about him. It means I know that he knows me. I'll tell you, the best place to get your assurance on that one is worship him. We enter his gates with thanksgiving. We enter his courts with praise. When we come down here and worship on a Sunday morning, what is our purpose? To connect with God, to get into his presence. We want to hear him talk so we can obey the instruction that he gives us. You were hanging out, we were hanging out with God in worship because his word says we connect with him that way and we know we've done it, all right? Now, I teach this way quite often. It's a valid way to teach the Bible. He ends a little series with verse 21 and this little warning about making heaven or not. Let's back up to the beginning of the chapter and see what he had to say that ended with the statement how important it is to do the will of God. I call it four principles. This particular passage is about living in his will, but we made the connection to Ephesians 5 because he said if you're going to walk in the light, you need to understand what the will of the Lord is. Here's a couple of things that'll help you. You already are the light, but it'll help you. Remember Jesus said we don't light a light and put it under a bushel? Got some warnings here about keeping that light out where people can see it instead of hiding it under a basket. All right, number one, judge not that you be not judged. With what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. Judgment prevents God's light from shining through you, even if it's in you, prevents it from shining through you and positions you to receive from others, that's the judgment for you judging them, rather than God's blessing and grace. Now, that is connected to you being a light in a dark place. Because if you go in with a judgmental attitude, the response of the people to you will be a very negative emotion and a very negative response even before you open your mouth because you came in with a judgment. Now, most of us, and I know we do this, I've been guilty of it. I heard something from the Holy Spirit I never heard before, but here it is. We think that because we don't speak negatively about a situation, that means we're not judging. We see somebody doing something ungodly or criminal or stupid or whatever it might be, and we think, well, as long as I don't say that no good so-and-so, as long as I don't say something, then I'm not judging. Even though we're kind of worked up when our emotions are getting stirred, I'm going to avoid a man. Okay, here's what the Holy Spirit said to me. I never heard this before. See, I get the Holy Spirit right now when I'm about to say it. When you look at a person or you look at a situation or when you think about a person or think about a situation, if negative emotions are stirred up and released from you, anger, fear, depression, discouragement, if you allow the thought of a person or a situation to stir those negative emotions and you release them, that's a judgment. That's a judgment that will quench the work of the Holy Spirit from flowing through you. In other words, well, I'll give you the example the Holy Spirit gave me. I felt like, okay, we're going to be in Walmart doing some Christmas shopping. That's what we do. And we make up our mind, I'm going to be the light of Christ. I'm going to look for somebody to bless. I'm going to look for somebody. I'm going to listen for the Holy Ghost. I'm just going to be a blessing to everybody I meet in Walmart today. And in we go, and it's so packed you can hardly move. And you're, oh, no. And you let, and all of a sudden, negative emotions are being released. You just quenched the light of God. Because you looked at all these people and that guy's, there's too many in the line and I'm irritated. Oh, I see that guy and I don't like him anyway. When the negative emotion is stirring, even if you manage, please get this, even if you manage to keep your mouth shut, I'm just not going to say anything. Yeah, but if it's brewing on the inside of you and you're releasing it in some of your actions, God said that's a judgment and it'll quench the Holy Spirit. It'll stop you from being a light. Now, you say, well, are you sure that's God? I'll prove it to you by Jesus' next words. Listen to what Jesus says. This is the next principle. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine. Wait a minute. Is Jesus calling people dogs and pigs? Let me try that again. This is Jesus. Do not give what is holy to dogs, or cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Now that principle in and of itself means use discernment, follow the Holy Spirit when you go to talk to somebody about Jesus. Be careful that you see the Holy Spirit saying that person needs the gospel or that person needs your love. That person needs a word from you like we received from the Lord this morning. Be careful to follow the Holy Spirit. But what I want to do, I promise you that when Jesus gave this teaching to his disciples, when he said, don't cast your pearls before swine, King James, do not give what is holy to the dogs or cast your pearls before swine. He wasn't releasing negative emotion to anybody. He was telling his disciples, be careful to follow the Holy Spirit. Some people will not receive and some people will not want your help in the name of the Lord. Just be careful. Don't try to shove it on anybody. That's what he was saying. And I promise you, he did not release negative emotion, so he was not judging those people. If I see somebody committing a crime, it's not a judge. Well, in one sense of the word, it is, and I don't have time for all of that this morning. But in the sense of the word, I see somebody stealing. I can say, gee, God's word says don't steal. That looks like an improper behavior. If I try to touch what was going on in their heart when they did that, I better leave that alone. That's God's business. And I better not take a bad attitude towards that person, because if I do, then I've shut the light off and I've hindered the Holy Spirit from using me to help them if God wants me to. All right, so anyway, the second principle kind of goes with the first one. Third one, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. You know, that's the promise that we all want to work perfectly every time. Amen. I mean, we've all prayed prayers and we've gone long and wondered where the answer's ever going to come. And of course, the Lord and the Word will tell us to continue to be faithful. And there's instruction that will come from the Holy Spirit. We need to pursue that. But if we're on the subject of being God's light in dark places, if we're on the subject of ministering to hurting people, which this is, then when we read, ask and it will be given to you, seek you will find, knock it will be open, I want to say to you, your faith concerning prayer and getting answers, your faith will rise to new levels when you ask as bearers of God's light in darkness. I've said this before, and I'm really not trying to be mean about it. Shortly after I got saved, and I went back to one particular church, and I wasn't getting too much out of it. The Lord needed to move me, and he did. But I wasn't getting too much out of it. And I heard of somebody who was a leader in the faith. I kind of go like that, the faith movement. And it was Kenneth Hagin. Now, you had some people, boy, you say Kenneth Hagin, oh, that guy, he's a name it and claim it guy. That's what they used to say. But I started reading some of his books, and all I knew was, well, he's just telling you what the Bible says. And he says, if you ask and believe to receive something, you should receive it. I didn't see anything wrong with that. I mean, I was wearing Bibles out. I was reading them so much, and everything I ever read from him, he's just telling you to believe what the Bible says. I didn't see anything wrong with that. Now, here's why some, and again, I'll try not to release any negative emotions because I don't want to judge them, but many people in that movement used the faith stuff and were believing for new cars and better jobs and more money and all kinds of stuff that was so Jesus said, seek me. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'll add all the stuff to you. You won't lack for anything. If you put me and my will and my kingdom and right, you put the right stuff in front of you concerning God. God says, you don't even have to ask. I'll give you all of that. So when we turn it around and we're not seeking relationship with Jesus Christ, but we want all the stuff, well, then people throw rocks at the faith movement. I grew in God tremendously under the faith movement. So I didn't care who was throwing rocks. I said, it's not having that kind of negative effect on me. Do you understand what I'm saying? If we're careful and we okay, so now I'm going down to Walmart to buy all them presents, okay? And my purpose for going there is to be used of God to bring light into somebody's life. And that's why I got to buy a bunch of stuff. But you know what? I'm really going there to be the light of God in darkness. So that's why I go through that door. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me. And now I can say, God, you said if I would ask, I would receive. Now all of a sudden the Holy Spirit thrusts you into a situation and you bump into somebody, next thing you know you're having a conversation and you realize that person needs a miracle from God. And you hear the Holy Spirit saying, Tim, I'm going to use you for his miracle or her miracle or whatever it is. I'm going to use you. And you know you went in there to be the light. You know the Holy Spirit led you into that situation. And next thing you know, a miracle, God? And he said, well, I told you, if you're obeying me in these things concerning my will, you can ask, you'll receive. I told you, if you go in there to do my will, you go in there to be a light in a dark place, I just reminded you, if that's what you're out there doing, you ask, you'll receive. You seek, you'll find. Knock, that door will open for you. Your faith will rise to new levels when you ask as bearers of God's light in the darkness. That's a setup from God, and you'll be able to be used by God for miracles or whatever it turns into, just for somebody to get saved. Just for somebody to say, gee, I needed a hug today. You know how many stories are out there? Somebody said, I prayed and I told God, if somebody doesn't hug me today, I'm going to kill myself. And somebody walks up and said, gee, I don't know you, but gives them a big hug. And they're going, why did you do that? Well, I felt God told me. Do you know what I just got done? Those stories, you've heard them. Those stories are out there. If our purpose is to be the light in darkness, we can stop judging people as, please get this, as a lifestyle, we stop judging people. You watch this, you want practice for this? Watch the evening news. You know, walk around, okay. But we want to learn to stop judging people. And if you get this, you talk about changed, completely, totally changed through Jesus Christ. Do you know what that looks? Let me tell you what it looks like if you never judge again. The negative emotion that is produced in your soul from judging won't happen anymore. It just won't happen anymore. You'll sleep better at night. You'll have a peace. Oh, gosh. You'll have a peace in your soul that is so much the Holy Spirit. You'll be walking from here to there anywhere. And the peace goes away and you go, whoa, Lord, what are you stopping me for? He'll say, I haven't got time to tell you. Just turn around and go the other way, Andrew. And you go, if you'll just, but the peace has to be there in the first place. And if you're running around judging, you're running around outside of the will of God, running around, you getting this? If I'm so careful not to judge, and there's other things, but I'm so careful, if I actually stop judging, it won't be robbing my peace with negative emotions. I'll be that much better able to hear Holy Spirit when he speaks to me and gives me some instruction. All right? Anyway, the last one, gee, this covers everything in the Bible, actually. Verse 12, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Jesus uses a term like that, very similar in some other places. But anytime he says that, he says, this is everything. If you get this, you're going to be getting almost everything correctly. But we got to not just hear it in here, say amen to it. No, we got to let that become our lifestyle. That everything I start to say or everything I start to do, every interaction with people, I'm going to take a minute and say, Lord, before I do it, is that the way I want them to deal with me? Is that what I would like? And if we could just, and like you say, this applies to me. I go through life pretty quick, to say the least. And if I'm not careful, I'm charging so fast, I don't hear a warning from the Holy Spirit. I got to be so careful with that. And when it comes time to speak, God has no problem getting me to open my mouth. It's harder for him to get me to shut up when I need to. But anytime I ever hear him say, don't say that, and I stop, boy, I get stuff from God. Boy, I get stuff from God, and you will too. So if we take a moment to say, is what I'm about to say or do the way I would want it said or done to me, keeping in mind the heart attitude comes with it, okay? Just basic stuff. So these are some principles, and we connect them because of Ephesians 5 that says if you're going to walk around as the light of God, if you're going to walk around as the light of God, know the will of God. So Jesus is teaching over there on the will of God. It ends with a warning and an exhortation. Just kicked it back to Ephesians 5, but on the subject of doing his will. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many who go in by it. Narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. The subject is the will of God. And again, there's general things on a huge level, and there's very, very specific personal things right in your face for your life, and we need to know all of them. All right? So we need to take this attitude, and it's not what exists in most individuals. You may be doing better than others, but the general situation, I know because I've been pastoring for, Terry always corrects me, I think 35 years or so, and I'm just now seeing more clearly than ever in my life the importance of being more careful than I've ever been concerning the will of God for this church, for myself as an individual, for you guys as individuals. So I'm leaning on this all the time. And we have to take the attitude that if we're just blundering along, we're probably going to miss that narrow gate. And he teaches on doing the will of God. Then he says you have to have an attitude that says it's easier to miss it than it is to hit it. Now the Word teaches us, and I don't have time, all over Romans 8, my favorite chapter, all over the book of Romans, when you learn to follow the Holy Spirit accurately, you're not quenching his voice by judgment. You're not quenching his voice by ignoring his word all the time. When you learn to know the voice of the Holy Spirit better than you've ever known it before, you will walk in the will of God, you will have the peace of God, and it will in and of that, I mean, it sounds like one little thing, but when we know the voice of God the way we are supposed to, it will be easier. This is the point. It will be easier to stay on track with God and harder to get off, okay? That is an absolute reality, but there are some requirements for getting there. So let me put those two back in the order I said them. Number one, this says it's easier to miss it than it is to get it. If you will grow and mature in your relationship with the Holy Spirit, as is possible through Christ's sacrifice at the cross and the whole living of the Holy Spirit inside of us. If we will come to that level of maturity in a relationship with Christ, Holy Spirit, then it'll be easier to stay on track with God than to get off. I want to get there. I'm doing a lot better over the years. We should always be growing in these things. And to be honest with you, I haven't been tempted to rob the 7-Eleven, well, actually ever in my life. Maybe that's not a good example. Never in my life did I think that. I thought some things that were pretty stupid. Haven't been tempted to go back to drugs. You know, that, it's been 35 years I've been off that stuff. The temptation to go back never comes up. I don't have a bad day and think, oh, gee, I'll just get high. That'll make it better. No, never. Because it's easier to stay away from that than, are you with me? That's a place we can get to, and it is the fruit of a mature relationship with Holy Spirit. Anyway, the last one, Jesus, boy, points us at that one quite often. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. That's the last thing that he says before he hits verse 21 that says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord. So he ends on, he gives us some principles for keeping us in the will of God. Then he warns us to pay attention. You're going to have to make an effort if you want to hit this correctly. And then he warns us with the good fruit warning, which says, if you are in fact in the will of God with your life, generally speaking, probably most of us are, but there are very, very personal, specific things that we also need to learn and discern and get those, and then we can say, yes, we're doing that. If we are in fact in the will of God for our life, there will be very good fruit produced of it, and we sure can go by that. When's the last time you led somebody to the Lord? When's the last time you got somebody saved? When's the last time you spoke to somebody about healing and stayed with them until they got it? We don't just say, well, brother, keep the faith and God will take care of you. Amen. God bless you. Okay. Gee, can you help me? No, sorry, I'm busy. No. Jesus' response was, I'll go die on the cross for you so you can make sure and get whatever you need. Jesus said it'd be better if he goes away. How's that? All I had to do was get to him and I'd get healed. Well, he's got a whole room full of people right here that if somebody needs a miracle, all they should need to do is get to any one of them. Please, it's not just for preachers. Should be able to get to any one of us. And we can help them get a healing. That's the will of God. That's him using us as the light. That's how this is supposed to work. And we got to be careful when that person comes and says, you mean you can help me get my life straightened out? You mean you can help me? Please take that as a Holy Ghost indicator. The answer to that should be, sure I can. And if you don't have time to get personal with them, please invite them to church. Introduce them to me. I'll be glad to help. Well, do me a favor. Raise your hand if you'd be willing for somebody to introduce you to somebody that needed some help in something from God. Okay? So there's some of us in here who says, yeah, thanks, young folks. Thank you, young folks. Because we need the young folks to be saying yes. We thank you. Thank you for that. Because that's what it's all about. That's where life is, all right? So we should have the good fruit. I'll end on the note I sent you this morning. We come in here and worship Sunday morning. What are we doing? And this is the end of the Ephesians chapter 5. He tells us how to go be the light of God in the world. So for 2 weeks, we've been talking about how to be the light of God in the world at Christmas time. And then he ends by saying, and this is a description. It sure ought to be a description of a church service. And we did it today. We worship, we prayed, spiritual songs, psalms, hymns. We worship, and then we have a chance to speak to each other. That's the atmosphere where it's easy for the Holy Spirit to move. That's the atmosphere where we learn. The Bible says we can all prophesy one by one. Oh, and keep us all in prayer, because myself and the leaders of the church, we're saying, Lord, what are the goals we should set for New Year's? I always want to say, let's set a goal for everybody to be more hooked up with God and those kind of things. Be praying for us that we will set the right goals before us. And remember, New Year's, that's one of God's holidays. Man, more on that later. Be praying. I was going to say, the Bible says you can all prophesy one by one. That's my desire, that everybody in here will be able to say one day, I had the experience of God speaking through me. I knew it was God. I said this, maybe to your husband, maybe to your wife. I said this to one of my kids, and boy, I got ready to speak, and I knew it was God speaking through me. Now, we don't all have to do it in a church service. I always like it when you do. I'm looking for that. But we all need to learn to prophesy one by one so we can learn what it feels like to have God speak through us. Wow. And so he ends on a note that says, be sure you put yourself in a situation where you're worshiping and praising and you're being spiritual about it. And you let God move. And when God moves, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. That's why I tell you, okay, we got a word from the Holy Spirit this morning. When you have a trial hit you, make sure you look to God first, not last. Okay, that's a word that came in this spiritual situation of worship. If we submit to each other in the fear of God, we're going to say, wow, Lord, forgive me that the doctor said I'm not going to make it, and I ran to every treatment in the... Please. Ah, I'm not opposed to doctors. I'm not opposed to doctors. And if the doctor says I'll cure your cancer with chemo, know that he told you that. He used it. He can use that. And if he didn't tell you, if he told you, you stay in relationship with me, I'll heal you by a touch of my hand, and I'll blast that cancer out of you in 1 second. If he's trying to tell you that, and you didn't even ask him because you're in your chemo treatments, do you guys know that I'm not opposed to getting medical? I'm not opposed to it. But the word from God today said, go to him first, go to God first. Hey, God, the doctor said I'm not going to make it. Please tell me how you're going to heal me. And stay with it until he tells you. And if he tells you something that comes from the hand of, I'm fine with it. But if I say, what did the doctor tell you about your miracle? What did God tell you about your miracle? I need you to be able to say, here's what God said, and I'm doing it. Good, thanks for telling me. Now the whole church will be in agreement that as you obey God's instruction, you'll receive your miracle. That's why we got to go to God first. You can save yourself a lot of grief. You can save yourself a lot of money by going to God and letting him tell you what's going on. So anyway, we must learn to live. We do it in here every Sunday morning, living in that atmosphere that makes it easy for the Spirit to move and makes it easy for us to hear. And then we want to learn to take that atmosphere out the door with us Sunday morning and stay in it for the next 6 days of the week. How would you like to never, I didn't know I was going to say this. How would you like to have not one negative emotion in 6 days and then come back to church with that testimony? I want, raise both hands, both feet. Yeah. Yeah. Well, but do you know that there is a process in God and in his word that we can? Terry's Bible study. I didn't know this was going to be a commercial, but here it is. Terry's Bible study right after the first of the year is going to be about that very thing. About that very thing. And we want to get signed up for that. It's a process, but we can do it. Now, I don't know how to end. Oh, I'm talking to the right person. Annie, we don't know how to end. So keep praying for me. I'm trying to end. Keep praying for me. I'll end on this note. If we learn to take that atmosphere with us, we come in, we worship Sunday morning, and we keep it with us. We just ask the Holy Spirit to help us. We will learn to live in the peace of God. That's just another way of saying following the Holy Spirit. You haven't sinned because you have the negative emotion. You can get rid of it. Maybe I shouldn't have said no negative emotion. No, we have emotions. They're real. They can flare up. But we can stop them and not let them have one effect on our body, soul, or spirit before they do us any damage. We can get rid of them so quickly that we'll be smiling and thanking God for teaching us how to do that. And when we live in that peace from God, it'll be very easy to be led by the Holy Spirit into the will of God. Let's pray. Hallelujah. And if Terry asks some people to be a prayer team over there, please go over there. Hallelujah. 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 Father, I just ask in the name of Jesus, I sow the word to the best of my ability. I sow the word that I believe you've given me. But Lord, my hope is not in my ability. My hope and my faith, Lord, is that I have heard from you. And if I speak a word from your holy word, I believe every heart in here is good ground for the sowing of the word. I believe this word is being sown in good ground today. And Lord, I'm just asking you to watch over it, to nurture it, to water it by the Holy Spirit, and protect that word so it can in fact grow some good fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. But I declare that the word of God concerning his will, concerning us being light, it is sown and it will produce good fruit in each of us as individuals, as the church, in the church as a whole. I declare the word of God will bear the fruit of God according to the will and the plan of God. And I declare that, Lord, over my brothers and sisters here in the church. And I declare that it will come to pass in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 If you would like some prayer, those folks are over there glad to pray. You know what? Let's go.